We see that in the second reading here, we see Paul speaking to Timothy. And in when Paul is speaking to Timothy, he just talks to him about the power of sacred scripture. And I think it's important that we pick that up, that it is, the sacred scripture is very powerful, and which is capable of giving you wisdom for salvation. Wisdom for salvation. We need to remember that, and it's great for teaching, refuting, and correcting, and training in righteousness. How many of us know sacred scripture? How many of us know sacred scripture? Or did today's readings just go right over our head? You know, did they just go boom, like that, gone? Or were we able to encounter what God is trying to tell us in today's sacred scripture? Because sometimes it's easy just to like, okay, come on. You know, one of the things I like about this, about the 11 o'clock and the 5 o'clock mass is there's no mass following those, and so everybody who's here wants to go a long time, okay? So, isn't that right? Nobody's going to disagree with that. You'll have to deal with him upstairs, so... Let's take a look at this. Let's go back, okay, in order for us to understand what's being said to us and how to grow in holiness, we need to get a picture of what's going on in the book of Exodus, what is transpiring. Okay, so what's happening is that the Israelites are just coming out of the desert. They're in the desert of sin. Okay, isn't that interesting? They were just coming in, they were inside in part of the stages. They're traveling through the desert of sin. Isn't that interesting how they use, it's actually called the wilderness of sin, S-I-N. Isn't that interesting? Now, if we think about that, how does that apply to our lives? Interesting. But while they're in that desert, they begin to complain against Moses. And they said, why have you brought us out here into this desert to die? We are thirsting. We are thirsty. And so our Lord God tells Moses, he says to Moses, strike the rock. Take your staff and strike the rock, and water will come forth for the people. And so that is what Moses does. He strikes the rock, okay? And water comes forth and satiates the thirst of the people. So now the Israelites continue in their stages and moving forward. Well, Amalek, who is an enemy of the Israelites, what happens is Amalek begins to attack the Israelites, and he attacks from the rear. He comes in after the rear guard. So he's attacking all the weak members, the old, the weak, the infirmed. Okay? So he's attacking them, and so it's causing a lot of problems. So now they have to deal with Amalek. But Amalek is also, there's symbolism with Amalek. Amalek is known as, the definition of Amalek is called sinful people. Sinful people. Okay, and so Amalek is a symbol to us of the evil one, of Satan himself. And so what does Moses do? Moses calls Joshua forward, and he says to Joshua, pick some men, pick some chosen men to go and do battle with Amalek, and I will go up on the hill, he says to Joshua, and I will go up there and pray for you, intercede for you. This is key for us now to begin to understand. By telling Joshua to pick, hand-pick men to go into battle, okay, and to wait for Moses to climb up on the hill. What's going on? Well, Moses climbs the hill. What's the hill a symbol of? The hill, Moses, first of all, is a type of Christ. He's a type of Christ. So Moses climbs the hill. The hill is a symbol of the Mount of Mount Calvary. So Moses climbs up the hill as like Jesus climbed up in Mount Calvary. He raises his arms just as Christ was crucified on the cross too. But as we see, too, that in this, Moses grows tired, so he has to sit on the rock. Now, why is that so important that they mention he sits on a rock? They grab a rock and have him sit on. Because Christ is known as our rock, as our rock. And if our prayer does not flow from that source, then it's not going to have any power. It's not going to be life-giving because water flowed from the rock, giving life to the Israelites. And so we must recognize that our prayer must flow from the grace of Christ, from the grace of God. And so Joshua now goes into battle, but it's important to always note that prayer is important, but then also Joshua goes in to put into action the prayer. Joshua goes in and he puts into action the prayer. The two separated, would not function, so he goes into prayer. And this is where we begin to look at ourselves and what is the spiritual application for us. See, one of the interesting things about Amalek is they attack the people. Amalek, like I said, Amalek attacked the people from behind. And he's known as a sinful people. He's known as the evil one. See, and that's how Satan attacks us in our lives. He attacks us from behind, where we are weakest at. So we always must be ready for the assault. And it's also important to note that the Israelites, after they had been satiated from the rock, they were experiencing God's blessings. They experienced the grace of God in their life. And so they begin to be attacked from behind. So what does that say about us? What must we do? In times of blessings, we always must still be prepared for the attack of the evil one over us. We must be prepared for temptations. Temptations do not stop just because God has blessed us. They're always there. The problem is with us is sometimes we get lulled to sleep and we stop praying. You know, we can go out and pray, God, give us this, give us that, give us this. I need that. Please heal me. And God does do that. He responds to our prayer. But what happens is we stop praying. How many of us have done that? We've asked God for something when we're in need, but then once we get it, we stop. No, we are called to stay awake. Stay alert, stay alive. Stay alert, stay alive. See, Joshua, that happened to Joshua. Joshua, after he had defeated Nineveh, after he had defeated Jericho, they had to go into battle against Ai, another town. And so they go into battle against Ai. They just crushed Jericho. And so they go into battle against Ai, and they're defeated there. Why are they defeated? It's because they did not follow the directions of God after their victory. They just figured, hey, I got victory. I'll deal with this. And they went forward. Elijah, after Elijah had killed all the false prophets of Baal, what happened? He went off and he was depressed. Because why? Because Jezebel, the wicked queen, wanted to kill him, was pursuing to kill him. So depression followed afterwards, and he wasn't prepared for it. And what did he say to God? Just take my life. Take my life. We always have to prepare ourselves for a follow-up attack against us. Now, it's also important to notice that Joshua did not go into battle until Moses took up his position. And so what does that say to us? That when we need to make major decisions in our life, we really need to consult God. If we want God part of our life, we need to consult our Lord God before we begin to make those decisions. Because sometimes we'll rush into decisions apart from God, and guess what happens? We make a mess of it. And what do we end up doing? We end up using prayer as a kind of a rear guard action. In other words, we use prayer realizing that, heck, I made a mistake by the decision I made without consulting God first, and now I'm in this mess. I'm in this mess that I have to deal with. You know, and that happens often to each and every one of us. We go into battle before consulting God, before praying about things. God is a part of our life, especially for families. When we, you know, when we need to do something big for our family, for whatever means, whatever it might be, a move or whatever, a different job, we need to consult God. We need to wait on Him. See, if we don't wait on God, what do? If we don't ask God, we rush into things. Just like the Israelites, when they realized that they made a mistake by arguing with God about going into the promised land and taking on the enemy there in the promised land, and they came back and they said, the enemy's too big for us. See, they saw the difficulties that laid before them, and they said, the enemy is too big for us. We can't handle it. And only Caleb and Joshua said, no, we can handle it with the grace of God. That's interesting. They said, we can handle it. Caleb and Joshua said, we can handle it with the grace of God.
But the other 10 said, no, we can't, because they were overwhelmed by the difficulty. And so they discouraged everybody else. And so God got angry because they did not trust in him. And so God said, for that you will wander the desert for 40 years. And what happened after that? They said, oh, we're sorry, we made a mistake. And so what they did was they encouraged, those 10 encouraged the others to grab their swords and let's run into battle. So they ran into battle and they were defeated. See, if we are, it's the same with us. If we are not willing to listen to God, if we are not willing to wait on him, we're going to be defeated. We're going to fall. We're not going to be able to deal with the situation. That's why Jesus said, before you go into battle, if a king has 10,000 men and he goes into battle against a king with 20,000 men, will he not sit down first and decide whether he can defeat that king? Or will he just run into battle and be defeated and look like a fool? So we are called to take a look at it. At sea and ask God, God, give us the grace, and then we are called to act upon that grace. You know, there was a time in my life, you know, I ran into a really bad situation. And this is how God acts, because he told the Israelites, I will defeat Amalek from your life. But see, what he did, and remember, I will defeat Amalek. In other words, I will defeat sin from your life. But what did he do? It took generations before God accomplished his mission. And why did it take generations before God defeated Amalek by the hands of the Israelites? Because he wanted Israel to trust in him. He wanted Israel to look to him for the grace that they needed to deal with the difficulties. And it's like each and every one of us, when we're praying to our Lord God and saying to our Lord God, please destroy this, please take this from me, Lord God. Sometimes God does not act quickly because he's putting us to the test. He's seeing if we're going to be faithful, if we're going to persevere in our prayer, and if we're going to follow through, and that we're going to trust in him. And that's what happened with the Israelites. Generations passed before God destroyed Amalek. And that is how God works in our life. There was an incident with me as a priest. I was, when I was a pastor, I was dealing with a very difficult situation. And I didn't know how to deal with it. And it was actually an individual that worked for me. And so I was really struggling in dealing with it. So I take it to our Lord God every day in prayer. And as I was praying, and what I would do is I would go through my offices all the time praying the rosary. And as I prayed the rosary, I'd throw exercised water all over the place, especially in that person's office. I'd just boom, 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 exercised water. And I would stay there and I'd say extra prayers there. So I'd keep doing that and I'd keep praying, Lord God, deal with this. I can't handle this. And I'd keep praying. And I didn't know how to move on the situation. I had to be very careful, as we know, employer and employee. And so I was struggling, and it was just a very hard situation. And so I'd go through, and then finally, you know, I kept doing this. And so I'd take little Benedict medals, which I prayed a prayer of exorcism over. I'd take those tiny little Benedict medals, and I'd glue them to the bottom of that person's chair, and I'd glue them to the bottom of the keyboard that they type on. And I glued it to the bottom of the desk, and that's what I did, and I just kept praying and praying. And I was at the point where, just like the Israelites, I cried out to our Lord God. Finally, I don't know why in the world God's not acting. I said, Lord God, I can't take this anymore. It's either, Lord God, I'll be up front with you. I'm not challenging you. I'm not pushing you in one direction. But Lord God, I'm going to resign. I can't take this. See, I was struggling, you know, and I'm going to resign. I was just beside myself. And that was the end of the prayer. And I left the prayer that morning, and I had to visit somebody who was dying. I came back to the office, and I was like, oh, God, I got to see this person. And I walked into the office, and the person approaches me and hands me this piece of paper and says, I resign. And, you know, my reaction was, wow. Wow. Well, thank you for handing this to me. Thank you for letting me know. And I'm lucky that I'm going for a walk right now out in the park so that I can just bring this before our Lord God. And so I said, thank you. And I got to the park and I was like, praise you, Jesus. Thank you. See, it was a very difficult situation. I had to wait on the Lord. I was getting no support in any of the other areas. I was getting no support from anybody because that person that I wanted to get rid of had very strong connections with other people that were in charge of me. And so I knew if I would have moved on that person, I would have been in a lot of trouble. So I took everything to prayer. I acted on it, and I let God deal with the situation. I had to be patient. I let God clean the situation up. And then when I had to hire somebody to replace that person, I did the same thing. I prayed, and I prayed, and I heard our Lord God say to me, hire this person. And that's what I did. And it was a blessing for me. Before we take action, we need to take ourselves into prayer. Especially when the situation is very difficult, we need to make sure that God is a part of that situation. God will work with us, but we have to wait for God. And if God would not have fired that person or got that person to resign, how would I have dealt with it? I threatened to resign. I don't think I would have resigned. I would have said, Lord God, what's my next step? What's my next step? We have to make sure that we trust God in our actions. Do not fear, but place your trust in our Lord God. And know that with patience in Him and with trust in Him, He'll work out the details. And it might not turn out the way we want it to turn out, but it turns out the way God wants to turn out for our sanctification and my growing in holiness despite the difficulties that I must face.